This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
This morning on the Breakfast Grill, we welcome Dato' Sri Shafi Abdal, the founder of the Pakatan Harapan Aligned Parti Warisan Sabah, and also being the Chief Minister of the state. Dato' Sri, thank you for talking to us. Let's begin with the dissolution of the State Assembly. If you can, explain why you did so, because it was reported that there were at least three coup attempts, external threats, two of which you thwarted, and now there's this lawsuit. Do clarify, please.
All right. Very good morning to you all. And I really appreciate for the invitations for me to appear on your radio. The questions about how it did come about to dissolutions of State Assembly in Sabah. But of course, I think it's now is a public knowledge that everybody knows. Even when I debated in Parliament, you know, we are facing COVID-19. But I did also mention about COVID politics in Sabah, and not only in Sabah, but also in many other states too. What happened in Kedah, what happened in Malacca, and they tried to do that also in Sabah. So I knew about what the movement of these people were trying to, using all sort of instrument, be it income tax, be it the police, you know, I've seen that. And we saw that with our own eyes. And I think this is quite crucial for us to remind not only ourselves, but also Malaysians at large. The system is very democratic. And the system is quite, you know, is where the suppression of power is quite clear, where the rulers have their own, including the governor of Sabah, and also executive, where the cabinets and also the court. But unfortunately, through all the use of various instrument intimidations, they tried that for almost 3 months, but I have been reading it, I have been trailing it, and I knew about how even announcements were made, you know, they have numbers, they have, even during the Raya Do, they said, you know, they have the numbers, but I knew that they didn't have the number, because when they mentioned they have the number, I have a signature of 45 Adun, State Assemblyman in front of me, they signed it, and they pull. They said that the pledge is to me and the government of the day. So it didn't materialize for the first month. And they keep on claiming and purport to say that they have the number. But in spite of that, they tried their very best. They even, all sort of intimidations and harassments were done. To some of our YBs, even the YBs, some of them call me up, they move from one house to another house, avoiding people's intimidations. Even some of them did a police report. I mean, one of them is YB Jennifer Simbang in Pinampang, when they went to her house without even a proper warrant as to what, but why they were there, but they were just merely pressuring her. Join, you know, there will be a money will be around, you know, there will be a positions to be given, all sort of things. So realizing that, so with all the intimidations, when I spoke to some of them, so I don't think it's right, you know, as an individual like me, you know, when I, of course, I wouldn't like to dissolve the assembly because we are facing a lot of problems in the country, not only facing the economic crisis that we have, COVID is also right in front of us, surrounding us. But when I look at it, it's, you know, the way that they do things, they did it in such a manner, it is better for me to hand over, let the people decide. Not for the system, all these intimidations and inducement, promising you will be the minister, you will be the assistant minister, we will give you that sort of amount of money. Of course, it's not easy to prove that. But out of those sort of things, even our YBs, the current one, YBs with us, you know, they said that, you know, they spoke about the numbers, did a police report. I mean, I just wonder why didn't they investigate it? Why didn't they ask? Instead, they asked our people. There were questions in the police stations. Why didn't they question? Who is behind this? I mean, don't tell me Tom, Dick and Harry is wandering around Kota Kinabalu, going into people's house. They are not even a very prominent people. They are not even YBAs. But who did direct these people to go and reach these people and try to induce them, try to influence them? Who are they? Are they a YB who want to become the chief minister, or they want to form the government? They don't have the means. Surely there will be some people behind it, you know, trying to induce these people, you know, to convince these people. But I know about the system. It has happened many times in Sabah. So I thought that, you know, it's timely for me to seek the, you know, sort of like where the power is vested with the governor. Then, of course, being the chief minister of the day, I have the right to, as a chief minister, to give advice. It's just like, you know, what happened in KL when Mahathir said, you know, I'm going to tender my resignation. The king said, don't resign. So he will check who and who. And, of course, Mahathir claimed he got 214. But the king said, well, I appoint already Mahyudin. So he has the executive power. He has the constitutional right as the king, similarly with the governor of the day. I mean, he has that constitutional right to dissolve or not to dissolve, not based only from advice from the prime minister or chief minister. End of the day, it is the governor's right under the constitution. It's not my right.
Correct.
To dissolve the assembly.
Correct. Yeah. So at the period concerned, there was two ruling chief ministers, and it was only the second time in this history since the dispute between PBS and USNO in the 1980s. It really was a constitutional crisis. Now, in the next elections, how do you ensure that this doesn't happen again, specifically with regard to the allegiances or the lack of allegiance of each member to the party? How do you ensure loyalty, in other words?
Well, you have seen that out of those YBs that have moved, shifted to the other side, none of my YBs, what is that? Not a single one of them. You know, it touches me actually, you know, when I realize that none of my YBs from Warisan, in spite of the temptations, intimidations, and also inducement that has been, you know, received by them, move out. Yeah. Of course, with the exceptions of two YBs from PKR and one YBs from DAP. And if these three guys didn't do anything, well, it's impossible for Musa to claim. So what is important, I think, with the background of these guys in the future, with this during these elections, are they really with us, or are they therefore just become YB, or, you know, there will be some kind of move? I'm sure, I think, they will also try their level best right after the elections to buy people too. Of course, I think that is why I think in the future we will do some kind of change, amendment on the enactment on how we can refrain them from moving out, you know, from the ruling government.
There's also some question marks about the viability of holding an election at this time. I think a quarter of Sabahans are in Peninsula Malaysia. So you've got talks ongoing with the EC, the Election Commission, to allow for postal voting. What's your sense of that particular development?
Well, they will be coming back. Through my experience, for this is my sixth term or fifth term already. You know. So I'm quite sure, I think, we didn't have any postal board then. I mean, there's no such thing as just because some of the Sabah, not even a quarter of them, I'm quite sure they have been back in and out. I was then the vice president of AMNO when we chartered a flight, about seven flight, 737. We brought back all the voters coming, residing, working in KL there, coming back to Sabah, and they voted for it. But there was no questions of postal voters anyway. I mean, one can imagine some of them is already back here in Sabah anyway because of COVID and some unemployment. You know, some of the companies had been closing down. And I'm quite sure because some of them communicated with me. And some of them did ask for a ticket to come back. They said, why you want to come back? I mean, no, we have no job here. So we have been how many months here? 3 months. Please, the 2-3 help us to come back. They are here, some of them, yeah.
So what happens then when the election period begins? What will Warisan's manifesto be? What will your key priorities be?
Well, we don't have any new manifesto, but we have already a new deal under the new environment, which I already spell out. I think we just need to a little bit improvise on what we have already spelled out, the new deal for Sabah under the current environment. because being a trading country, Malaysia, so we have to be mindful. Not many other countries can receive the goods that we export. At the same time, it's not easy to handle that. So I think there are certain sectors that I already spell out where we need to focus, where Sabah has the advantage as compared to other states within. The first priority that we have to give is to enhance our domestic economy, domestic consumptions, and domestic tourism, which I think is being bearing fruits now in Sabah towards the weekend. You know, in places like Sutra Harbour, occupancy is about 70%. But they are Sabahan. They are Malaysian. You know, domestic tourism. I'm not relying on foreign tourists for the time being, you know, but I have already indicated to my Minister of Tourism that look into, in the future, when there's a vaccine where we can control and where there are places, countries that with green kind of zone, no incidence of COVID, that we can work with them and they can come over here. But we are still looking at it, whether it's when is the time frame that we can allow those people to come over to Sabah. Yeah. So these are some of the sectors we are looking at. But it's under the new deal. I will spell it out when the time comes. Yeah.
We are talking this morning to Dato' Sri Shafi Abdal, founder of the PH Alliance Parti Warisan Sabah and also the Chief Minister of Sabah. We'll come back after this, Dato', and we'll discuss the efforts to reinvigorate the domestic economy as well as your other election pillars, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
This morning on the Breakfast Grill, we have with us Dato' Sri Shafi Abdal, founder of Parti Warisan Sabah and also the Chief Minister of the State. Now, when we look at some of the fundamental issues facing Sabah, obviously it's the economy, it's the post-COVID recovery. You mentioned a new deal. What are some of the specifics you can talk about within that, in terms of a sneak peek of this new deal?
Well, the new deal that I spell out a couple of months ago was based on the current environment the world is facing, the country is facing. So being a trading nation, Malaysia, and being Sabah has been nicely located nearby to countries like Brunei, Singapore, Japan, Hong Kong, China. So one can imagine that this country, for example, like Singapore, they're in need of some of the food items. They don't have an ample land. They can grow veggie or whatever it is that is required for, you know, feeding their people. So is Brunei. So looking at that sort of environment, so we focus into how best we can establish and ensure that Sabah will have food security. We have ample supply, a food hub, be it in terms of providing fresh fish, lobsters, we are known for that. And also veggie as well, vegetable. So fruits as well. We have a good number of places in Sabah where we are growing, like pomelo, pineapples. You know, these are the sort of things that we are looking into when we talk about food security. Of course, the other area that we have to enhance our capacity, tourism, for example. Like all the while, we have been relying on one of our backbone economic growth or revenue comes from tourism, because we have been the biggest recipient of tourists coming from China. Sabah is one, I think, compared to other states in Malaysia. So we're looking into that sort of thing. And of course, downstream industrialization, I think since Sabah is one of the biggest producers of palm oil in Malaysia, so we have the potentials of not only trying to export our CPO, but also the need for us to go downstream. That's why recently I've already launched, for example, the production, the industry of having cooking oil and other industry related to the product itself. So I think these are some of the area that we are looking into. And so similarly also with rubber, I think next week I'm going to launch an industry glove, you know, glove, the rubber glove. So this is some of the area that we are looking into. Of course, the timber is another sector that we need to enhance, because we have resources is abundant. That no one can dispute that. Of course, it will take a little bit of time, because going downstream, like doing furniture, of course, we need to have not only in terms of the capacity, in terms of finance, but also the manpower and the skill for us to realize that. But I discussed with some of those IKEA, for example, like who is notable kind of platform in the world. So I did try to get them to come over to Sabah to adventure. To even I met the Japanese entrepreneur. I went to Japan last year, so I tried my level best to call him up, and they were there on the pipeline to have a joint venture with Sabah business community here to set up an industry on furniture, because they do import a lot of timber coming from Sabah. So these are some of the area that we are looking to. And in the other sectors, Sabah is the biggest of all in the country. I was made to understand 37% of the reserve of oil in Malaysia is in Sabah. It comes from Sabah. It's about 1.5 billion barrels reserve that we have here. So one can imagine if we were to tap these potentials in terms of getting revenue and jobs opportunity for Sabah. So these are the new deals that we need to realize. Of course, it will take a longer time. It cannot be just spelled out overnight. Then you realize that, no, it will take years. And also getting all the expertise and the financing part of it. So these are some of the area okay. that we are looking to how best the new deal for Sabah. Of course, human capital is one. And that's why I've set up Ministry of Education and training and the need for us to expose not only young people, a TVET to be set up, training center to make sure that we have the right for those industries that we are going to set up. At the same time, only the new Ministry of Education. And since we took over, we have already provided a small amount of 50 million for the civil servant. Last year, I sent some of the civil servants to London, to UK, to Cambridge University to expose them with certain skill. And then supposed to be this year going to Canada because they have this knowledge about federal and state relationship, because you need to beef it up to make sure that civil servant building a nation here, we are okay. not only building a state. So how best we can realize a good relationship between federal and the state government. Okay. So these are some of the areas that we're looking into. Human capital development. Of course, we have the edge in terms of oil and gas. We have the advantage in terms of size of land compared to other state or other region, compared to Singapore, compared to Peninsula. We have abundant land, very fertile. It's volcanic soil. It's not peat soil that you need to be treated. But these are the some advantages, but we have already blended.
We are talking this morning to Dato' Sri Shafi Abdal, founder of Parti Warisan Sabah and chief minister also of Sabah. Now, there are remaining several issues under the MA63, the Malaysia Agreement. 4 out of the 21 issues remain unresolved, and oil royalty is one of them, petroleum cash payments, of course, oil minerals and oil fields as well. To what extent, Dato, can you tell us whether these things will be resolved, these items will be resolved, because they do relate back to the well-being of the state and the people?
Well, when we set up this party, it was based on the demand for the rights of Sabah and Sabahan too. When we spell it out, it doesn't mean we want to become very parochial, sort of like neglecting those people coming from Malaysians, from Peninsula. No, it is only within good intentions what was right. What was the right of Sabahan when we formed the country, Malaysia? So part and parcels what the MA63 was the fulfillment part of it. Because if we want to build a nation, touch the heart of all. Don't touch the heart of individual. They can touch the heart of the chief minister by giving me a project to me, Petronas, whoever. But if you touch the heart of Malaysia in Sabah by giving the royalty, which is due to the state of Sabah, not due to the politician's leader, and I can tell you that is towards strengthening, building a nation. You know, I mean, this is what we should do. So that's why I did indicate and discuss with the Mahathir when he was then the Prime Minister of Malaysia, but he was in principle somehow agreed on how to do it, but of course not to give 20%. But along the way, I even discussed with the President of Petronas then, Tan Sri Wan Zulkifli. We have a very good formula to how to realize that, where partially we can convert that into stake, for example, like 20% that we demand, we promise our people. So I think out of that, what we have already discussed under MA6 321 issues, almost 17 was already realized, which I'm quite happy with that sort of thing. So I do hope the rest, we can do it. I raised that in Parliament the other day when I said, I asked my colleague coming from Sarawak, since the last sessions when we brought it up in Parliament, the ACTA, what do you call it, Act 1, Bracket 2, where the status of Sabah was not equivalent to other states like Kelantan, Perlis. It was a region by itself, just like Sarawak. So, of course, if we can get it done, so the rights and the status of Sabah and Sarawak will be slightly different from others. That is one of the reasons why we have, for example, like the power for getting people into Sabah through immigrations is still vested with the Chief Minister of Sabah and the Chief Minister of Sarawak. There's peculiar, but it's different from other states. And that's what we need to highlight then, which was signed by our forefathers. I think that was the hope and the dream of our forefathers before the formations of Malaysia. This must be realized. So I do hope that this, some of the issues, I believe that my colleague in Sabah will definitely support, and I hope those Sarawak, and I do hope Tan Sri Mahyudin discussions earlier, and I believe that he was also in the cabinet when this issue was brought up, discussed on how best we can get it done. So we will try to pursue that. It's not for Warisan, it's not for me, but this is what you call building a nation.
We are talking this morning to Dato Sri Shafi Abdal, the founder of Parti Warisan Sabah and the Chief Minister of Sabah as well. We'll come back after this, Dato, and talk about wider geopolitical issues as well as more broad national democratic items. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, we are talking this morning to Dato' Sri Shafi Abdal, the founder of Parti Warisan Sabah and also the Chief Minister of the States. Now, Dato, a lot of news headlines are focused on this US-China trade war and the fact that the warships and the aircraft carriers are now in the South China Sea brewing territorial disputes, and some are even saying that this dispute between the Americans and the Chinese could escalate into something more serious. The trouble is the South China Sea and where the warships are on the doorstep of Sabah and Sarawak. Mm-hmm. How closely are you watching these developments, and are you making any preparations?
Well, actually, I know about these issues quite well because I was briefed by the security, because being the chairman of Security Council in Sabah, I need to know not only about this particular issue, which is it can endanger not only the security, but also the livelihood of our people in this part of the world. That was what I indicated to some of the leaders then in the peninsula. It must be taken seriously. And if I'm mistaken, I don't know whether I did mention this to the foreign minister. I can't recall that. But I did raise this issue, and I called the armed forces authority and also the police to ensure that we must not only be well aware of this, but we get our people prepared just in case in the event. But it must be done in a political kind of diplomacy with our neighboring countries, you know, because I know it's about dispute on based on resources, but we cannot jeopardize human's life here, you know. But this area, it must be made clear that it's our territorial right, where it is located nearer, as you mentioned just now, just is a doorstep from our place. It's not far away, so one can imagine if there's a an incident happening in that part of the world, in that part of the area, it will have some serious impact on not only Sabah, but Sarawak too. I think it's nearer to Sarawak, if I'm mistaken. So I think I've already spelled out and I indicated my concerns about this. But it must be discussed at the level of G2G, where the federal government must play a very pivotal role to indicate the sovereignty of these things, and it must be through a diplomatic role, rather than hostile, going into, for example, like if it lead to war, even dispute between China and America. I mean, it is not the Chinese in China will suffer. It is not the American in America will suffer. It is the Malaysians in Sarawak and Sabah. You know, life will be, you know, seriously affected. So I do hope that these are the issues that we need to look into seriously. And we have to establish it, where there is a need for us to bring it to the, you know, International Court of Justice, be it, you know. But I believe that it must be resolved at the first stage diplomatically within the big countries like China and US, I think these are the people who are really interested. But it has been there with us. But I believe that we have to resolve this. And we cannot be having another war zone in this part of the world. What is happening in the Middle East now, and now what is happening in other countries. I think we have to save the world. The people in the world is facing a lot of serious. We must work together on how to overcome COVID, for example.
Well, switching our attention back to the country, Dato' Sri, obviously the political landscape is as volatile as it has ever been. Some say that you could be a candidate for Prime Minister if Pakatan comes back to power, especially since some critics and analysts have suggested that you might even have more conservative Malay support than even Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim. What do you think about these comments and what do you think about these suggestions?
Well, I must say that I'm honoured by all the sort of suggestions that, you know, the millions of Malaysians that they qualify rather than me to become. But when it was announced by, well, he's a world leader, I might consider that Tun Mahathir. Of course, discussions were held between Tun and the rest of the PH leaders. They thought that I was the solutions to the two guys, Mahathir and Anwar. So they were even saying that, well, towards building a nation, it has been the dream of our forefathers, you know, not only about talking about royalty of oil, whatever it is, you know, sharing of wealth in the country. We have been independent for how many years? None from Sarawak, none from Sabah, Tipika. Not to mention DPM, not to mention even Prime Minister too. You know, these are some of the issues that have been lingering in the mind of many. We need to develop Sabah. And Sabah can be the place and an instrument to getting Malaysia to become a very competitive nation because we have resources. We have plenty abundant land and very fertile land too. So one can imagine not only in terms of resources abundant, but at the same time locations too, which is nearer to China, which is nearer to Japan and nearer to Brunei and even nearer to the new capital city of Indonesia, Kalimantan. So if you look into it, if we were used as, you know, if I may say used as a place where it can live up Malaysians competitiveness in terms of trading, in terms of getting more revenue, why not? So that's why I was thinking along the line, let me focus into the Belt Sabah, not only for Sabah, but I'm quite sure I think, you know, the bulk of the resources, if we were to export, it goes into federal funding anyway. So well, it doesn't go to Sabah totally.
Well, it does look like the stars are aligning, Dato, for the potential of an East Malaysian Prime Minister for the first time in the country's history. If it does happen and the stars do align and you do become Prime Minister, would you, I guess, leverage your position as the first East Malaysian to tackle a lot of uncomfortable issues, including perhaps even potentially depoliticizing ethnic issues and dividing the country along racial lines and ethnic lines?
Well, I have already indicated that one of the reasons why I set up this Warisan is a multiracial party. Because the important part that if you have a country and a nation based on so many races and diversity in terms of religious belief, the important part is not only to build economy. One of the top priority, you must unite the people first. You can't realize economic development. You can't realize human capital development if you don't have unity among the various races in any nation. So I think it's indeed very crucial and very important for us to do that. So uniting the Malaysian people, race and religion, that is one of the top priority when I look at it, for the country to go forward, to move forward, to be very competitive. We have seen that during the era of Tun Mahathir then, you know, when he was then the Prime Minister, we were new tigers considered to be. We were able to compete with other big nations in the world. Why was that realized? But I think this is where I think if you use race and religious kind of perspective, then it's going to be very divisive. Nothing that you can realize. That's why I said I debated Parliament the other day when I indicate you don't blame the Chinese to become rich. You know, they work for it, they earn. They're Malaysians too. Any Malaysians for that matter, you know, irrespective of race and religion. But you can't be, you know, criticizing others for having a better life just because they earn it and because they have different races. You know, I mean, for example, like, there are good Indian doctors in Malaysia. There are good Indian lawyers too in Malaysia. But you can't blame them because they achieve well in education. How many Indian become Minister of Education in Malaysia since independent? I mean, you can't blame Bill Gates being a billionaire just because he's an American. But one can be a billionaire coming from Malaysia if we work hard, if we unite ourselves, put aside. Of course, we love our religion. Of course, we love our race. But it is between us and God, you know. But that cannot be a venue where we can be divided. And it's not good for our generations to come. So we need to inculcate that sort of values to realize we are building a nation. We are not building a race here.
Well, thank you, Dato' Sri. Good luck with the upcoming Sabah elections. And all of us in Malaysia do hope for the day that comes when the country really, truly is united and progressive. Thank you for talking to us. We had with us Dato' Sri Shafi Abdal, the founder of Parti Warisan Sabah, and also the Chief Minister of Sabah, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.